Tonight we'll be looking at Psalm 61. So if you turn with me in your copies of God's Word, to Psalm 61. So hear now the Word of God, Psalm 61. To the choir master with stringed instruments of David. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, Salah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Let us once again bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Father, we pray as we look at this psalm that you would guide us according to your truth. Our Lord's prayer in the Gospel of John was that you would sanctify us according to your truth, and that is what we ask this evening, Lord, as we once again take a look at your word. May you, by your Spirit, mold us more into the image of Christ. And we do pray, Father, that you would bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak clearly this evening. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. As we were singing Psalm 73C, I was kind of struck with, it's kind of a nice segue into tonight's psalm. You know, in Psalm 73, you have David looking at the wicked and their prosperity and wondering why, O Lord. Then we have the portion that we sang this evening, which is David remembering just the greatness that he has in God and the great inheritance and the comfort that is, that he will be with God forever and that those who oppose him will perish. Well, that first portion, that we will be with God forever, is a great comfort to us. And as we look at this psalm, you know, I found this psalm to be extremely encouraging. You know, we have here David going through something that I think every believer, every child of God, every Christian, even those of the Old Testament, went through in times in their life. Low periods where they think that they are far off from God, where God is not near. And they cry out in these valleys, in these low times when they're faint of heart. And we have here God's response and his answer. So as we look at this psalm, the theme we'll be looking at is that when far from God, draw near to him through Christ the King. When far from God, draw near to him through Christ the King. And the psalm breaks into two portions, and we'll be looking at it in 2 points. The first is, cry to God when faint of heart. He is your refuge, in verses 1-4. And then in verses 5-8, God has listened and given you a good inheritance. So first of all, cry to God when faint of heart. He is your refuge. David begins this psalm, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. We don't know the historic context of this psalm. Some speculate that maybe it was one of the time, or at the time when David had to flee from his kingdom as his son Absalom rose up in opposition to him. So in that sense, he's far away from Jerusalem, from the temple, from God, and he's crying out to God in this time when he's far away. Well, we don't know the historic context, and we can speculate all we want, but I think it's good that God has not given us the exact context, because it, freely allows us to just make the general application. And I think even what is rightly even David may have been going through. It's not necessary that he was physically removed from God, but it could be that he was at a low point in his life. You know, we do hold the David high on a pedestal as one of the great heroes of the faith. But I'm sure, like you and I, he had his valleys as well, as we can read about in the Psalms, in his despair and the depth of his soul. And so here, too, we have David crying out from the ends of the earth when his heart is faint. I'm sure we can all relate and understand the low points that we feel when what you might describe as being faint of heart, when it feels as if God is far removed from you. You feel as if you are at the ends of the earth in regard to where God is, completely removed from him. This is a pattern that we see any time we feel this distance. It doesn't mean that there is that distance, for God is faithful and always with us. But there is time, there are times when we feel this distance. David, after he has cried out, please to God to lead him to the rock that is higher than I. The image there is of kind of like last week when I talked about the city of or the capital city of Edom and how it was cut into the caves and the rock, and there are these high precipices that anyone who would try to go in, you know, they're just have boulders thrown on them from those high up. The idea is, you know, you're down in a valley in a dark, deep place, and so there's, you know, the mountaintop above, the rock, the ledge that's higher than you. And so God is pleading with, or David is pleading with God to reach down and pick him up and place him upon that high rock. Now, it's easy for us as we look back at the psalm that we can make a connection with the chief cornerstone, the rock, Jesus Christ, who is our foundation. And that is really ultimately where we're to turn in those times when we are low, when we are faint of heart, to turn to God and to ask him to plant us firmly upon Christ, strengthen us on that rock that is truly higher than us. There's also other imagery here that David uses. There's this high rock. There's also the idea of just a refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. He pleads with them, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. So this imagery of shelter, a high rock, a strong tower, the very tent of God, and that picture that we're familiar with in Scripture of a bird covering her chicks with her wings and protecting them. You know, the imagery that I see here is similar to, as you know, a small child when they're hurt and they come running to you for help, especially if you're that child's parents. They're crying and they're sobbing and they're in pain, and they come to you and they're looking up at you expectantly and pleading with you, take me into your arms, lift me up, hold me close, carry me. That's kind of what David is doing here with God. He's in a low, faint of heart state, and so he's pleading with his heavenly Father, pick me up, carry me, let me find refuge and shelter in you. So that is the imagery that we are given here as we look at the psalm. It is of one who may not be far off physically, but is feeling far off spiritually, distant and removed from God. And it's a pattern that we have here of turning to the Lord in these times. Now, as we look at how it's laid out for us in the ESV, you know, we might think that the psalm is broken up into three sections. But really, 4 and 5 should be separated. There's a clear mark here. There's that Salah that we have, which is an indication, okay, let's stop and let's look at what's come before. Let's meditate upon it. And then it breaks off into 5 through 8. And in 5 through 8, we have really the answer to what David is pleading for. He says, for you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. So the first 4 verses teach us when we are low, faint of heart, to turn to our Heavenly Father. And now as we move into the second point, God has listened and given you a good inheritance. This heritage of those who fear your name. We can look back at this psalm and understand it to be speaking of maybe something far greater than what David had imagined. We have the promised land that is to come, the true promised land, the inheritance that God has given his people in Christ. So as we are in those low and kind of despairing times, those valleys of life where we feel distant and far from God, let us remember that God does hear us. He is, in fact, near. And let's bring to mind the good inheritance that he has given to us. As those who fear the name of the Lord by his grace, in those times when we are low, let us remember the good inheritance that he has given to us. These verses point out three aspects of this inheritance that I want to touch upon this evening. And each is really eternal in its scope. First of all, they're in the request to prolong the life of the king that his years may endure to all generations. Now, if we consider David writing that, that may seem a little self-serving. But he probably had in mind, and it's not wrong to speculate, that he had in mind the promises that God had in fact given him. You know, as we read, after David wanted to build the temple, God says, no, I don't need you to build my temple, but I will build you a house. And your sons and your throne will endure forever. So here is a request, prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. This is clearly pointing us to the King, Jesus Christ. And so this first aspect of our reward, our inheritance that we have been given, is that we have an everlasting king. We have an everlasting king. We have a king who will never cease to rule. We have a king who has been firmly established. We have a king who is completely and totally victorious. So in low times when we feel distant from God, let us keep in mind that aspect of our inheritance. The fact that we, you know, our president is changed every 4 years or 8 years. But our true king, whom we serve, never gives up his throne. Never relinquishes his rights. And we're told in Psalm 2, as you know, we're pictured there, the Father laughing, but really it's rightly we can show that to Jesus as well. As his enemies come against him, his response is to laugh at them and to ridicule them, because there is no way that they can dethrone him. His rule will never be overturned. And this can be a great comfort to us in knowing that our King will always and continues to reign, despite any feeling of neglect or being far from him. We know he is sitting enthroned and he is working for his people, conquering his and our enemies. Another aspect of our good inheritance that we have been given says, so I will sing ever, or so I will ever sing praises to your name. This phrase shows us the eternal aspect of being in God's presence forever. So will I ever sing praises to your name. So those times when we feel distant from God, we feel low from God, let us keep in mind this aspect of our good inheritance. That at one point we will be in his presence forever. We will get to sing his praises directly before his face, and it'll never be taken away from us. You know, that is something truly remarkable to me. You know, we get little snippets of it here in this life when we get to enjoy something. You know, maybe it's coffee. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's a good movie or a good book where we're just thoroughly enthralled and just enjoying it. But we know it comes to an end. You know, with me, when I eat a really good meal, there's always an element of sadness. Because with each glorious bite, it is coming closer and closer to an end. And I know it'll be over. But in heaven, we will never, ever, ever, ever have that experience. From the moment that it first begins, we will be in God's presence. And we will praise Him day after day after day after day. And it'll never end. There'll never be any tinge of sorrow thinking that, oh, it's going to end at some point. It will be forever. So let us keep in mind that aspect of our good inheritance when we're low and we feel far and distant from God. There will come a day when there will be nothing separating us. And we will be directly in His glorious presence forever. The third aspect of this good inheritance that we are given is summed up in the last portion of verse 8. David says, you know, as we just looked at, so will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. This really speaks to the goodness of this inheritance that we are giving. There's an aspect here where David says, pay my vows day after day. And what's unusual about that is that in the Old Testament system, when you fulfilled a vow, you went to the temple and you gave your sacrifice. And it was done. That was it. It was over. So why is David talking about, I will perform my vows day after day? And we could keep adding to it, after day, after day, after day. Well, there's an aspect here that this good inheritance that we have been given, this deliverance that we have been given, is so grand, so magnificent, so wondrous, that there's never an end. There's nothing that we can give to repay it. There's nothing that we can give God to repay Him for the good gift that He has given to us, this good inheritance that we have given to us. We could fulfill our vows, perform our vows, day after day after day after day after day. But it still wouldn't be enough. It speaks to the goodness, the overwhelming goodness of the inheritance that we have been given in Him. And this is all through Christ our King. Let's go back to verses 6 and 7. Prolong the life of the King. May His years endure to all generations. May He be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over Him. This can only speak of a heavenly King. This cannot speak of an earthly King, that He would be enthroned forever before God. And look at what makes this King's reign last forever. It is God's steadfast love and faithfulness. The reason Christ's kingdom will never fall is in part due to the fact that He is God and no one can overthrow Him. But it's also in large part due to the fact that God has said it will never fall. God has promised that this Messiah King will never fall. He will never falter in His rule. He will never be overthrown. In Psalm 2, He says, I've given you a rod of iron to rule the nations. If any of them do not bow before you, you will crush them in your wrath and anger. It is God's steadfast love, His faithfulness, that watches over the King and keeps Him enthroned. God has said it, and it will be done. This is a great comfort to us in knowing that if we come to God through our King, Jesus Christ, that same steadfast love, that same faithfulness is ours as well. It is what keeps us in Christ. And so when we are low, when we are faint of heart, remember the great inheritance that we have in Christ. The fact that we have this eternal King, the fact that we get to be in God's presence forever, and the fact that it is so great and overabounding that we can never, ever repay it. And so, brothers and sisters, my hope is that this psalm will be a great comfort to all of us. As we, through this life, we have valleys, or we have mountaintop experiences, and we go through valleys where we're low and we feel distant from God. Let us cry out to God in those times, seeking refuge in Him and remembering what He has given us. remembering the promises that He has given us, that He is faithful, He is true, and He has given us a good and wonderful, immeasurable inheritance in Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, remember that when we are far from God, let us draw near to Him through this eternal King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and remember the great promises that we have been given in Him. Amen. Our gracious Father, we do, Lord, thank You for the great inheritance that You have given to us. It is truly incomprehensible. When we think about eternity, about it never ending, about always being with You, it is something that our minds just cannot fathom. We are so bound by time. When we think about something never ending, especially a good thing, we just can't fully comprehend it. But may we, Lord, rejoice in that this is what You have said You have given us. This is what You have said that we will enjoy. And that no one and no thing can snatch it out of Your hands. For You are the one who holds our inheritance. You are the one who keeps it for us. And so, Lord, when we go through times where we feel low, when we go through times when we feel like You are distant and You are far off, may we, Lord, remember the great inheritance that we have. And may we remember the promises that You have given, that You never leave us, You never forsake us. And there will come a time when we will be in Your presence forever and never feel distant or separated again. May that day come quickly, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.